Howdy, folks. This is Larry Weissoon, and welcome to our show. This segment is brought to you by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers, and Ultramatic Feeders.
Well, folks, let's load up the old pickup and head down to Lake Fork. Now, guide Seth Vanover, a buddy of mine for many years, is standing by. Seth guides for crappie right now. Is kind of the big ticket item for Seth, but he also guides for catfish, too. Seth, are you standing by down at the Minnow Bucket, buddy?
Yes, sir, and I am ready to roll.
Well, okay, one of our favorite places in the world to be, Lake Fork and the Minnow Bucket, that's for sure. Let's concentrate on crappie fishing, and I think, you know, we've talked about transition and this, that, and the other of the crappie in the past few months when you're on our show. Let's talk about winter crappie fishing this time. The water temperature has dropped, and I know they're on a winter pattern here, you know, late November. Specific depths, are they moving? Have they moved deeper? I'm going to assume they have.
Yeah, they have. I mean, we're hitting the break lines out off the main lake points anywhere from, you know, you get it a sunny day when it's warm, you can catch them up in about 25. But your best depths right now are going to be about 28 to 32 to 33 feet off these main lake points on the sharp drops or on some tire reefs. There's some scattered brush out there in that depth. But the main thing we're doing, we're using a technique called cannonballing. And you're putting a bigger jig on the bottom, you know, an 1/8 ounce jig, a big one, and maybe a 1/16 up top are running those tandem lines. And you're just slowly trolling in about, you know, those break lines from 28, 32, 33 feet. And those fish will tell you where they're at. When you start getting bit, you lock it down, and you start really concentrating on that depth range, and you can sit there and just go back and forth on in a certain area and just beat them to death.
You know, Seth, way back over 20 years ago down at Fork, I don't even remember the gentleman's name. He was a younger guy down there back then, but I fished with him once or twice, and we're talking a couple of decades ago. But what he did, you know, very much like that, except he didn't have the sophisticated electronics that you have today, you know. But he would put multiple jigs, and these were, I don't think it made a lot of difference, but they were they had all the speckle colors in them, you know, almost like a fireworks going off. They were bright,
right.
Brightly. You've probably seen them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he'd rig up a bunch of those. And no real rhyme or reason other than the fact he knew it worked. I fished with him twice, I think. We'd get down in that lower lake down by the dam down there and just drift and drop that. And he actually had a small bell sinker on the bottom. And just there was no way of really marking these schools. We just might drift for 200 or 300 yards and just not – if a little wind was blowing, of course, maybe – maybe not catch anything. All of a sudden, bingo, we'd get in them. Kind of like that today, except it's way more sophisticated with the sonar, right?
That's it. You're playing a video game with them now. You know, and as soon as you see them on your graph stop,
mm-hmm.
they start
mm-hmm.
throwing that area around.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, they're out there in that open water. They're not really adhering to cover, per se, like brush or
right.
kind of lay downs. You can sit there and watch them on your graph, watch your jig on your graph, and watch them come up and hit it on your graph. I mean, that's how sophisticated it is nowadays.
I know. Back in the day, we would just when we got in them, I remember catching the daylights out of them. Back then, we'd catch a lot of. Well, you had to keep all you caught at that time, you know, in the winter there, and still do.
Yeah.
I know that.
And that's a good tip. I'm glad you brought that
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
December 1st.
Right. Coming up,
starts.
Folks. Mm-hmm. If you catch them deep, and that's because they get the bends from pulling them up out of that deep water. A lot of them don't make it when you jerk them out. So put them in a frying pan, right?
That's it. I mean, you catch those 8-inch crappie, cut the heads off, gut them, and scale them. That's actually pretty good eating right there.
Oh,
it's, them up whole.
It's some of the best. Or fillet them in there. They're like a big jumbo shrimp, the way I look at them,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, tater chip. They're
Ooh,
good.
Yes, yes. Okay, don't, we better not start talking about frying fish, Seth.
Yeah, I know
you and I both will be, we'll be, yeah, we don't do that. That's a no-no for people like us. Okay, so Jig colors? I mean, is it mostly jigs, or are you going to switch around and use some minnows right now?
No, I won't buy a minnow again and probably until March. It's all jigs right now. I've got – it's a confidence thing, too. Can you catch them on minnows? Sure. But I know I can go out there in the right areas. With the color doesn't matter. I have my favorites. I've got the blue and shark – or the blue and – no – cinnamon and blue. There we go.
Okay, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, blue and cinnamon hair jigs. That's just my go-to bait. Now, sometimes they don't like it, and you got to be able to just remember, you got to adjust. But if you get a blue and cinnamon hair jig, you're going to catch them. That's just a staple jig out there on Fork right now.
Okay, let's figure this. Let's think about this. Say I'm just a buddy, a friend, which I am, but say, Seth, I want to rig up and go out there in my own boat, see if I can catch some crappie. Now, explain that rig. You say your heavier jig's on the bottom. Tell me what weight you're going to start with down on the term, on the very tag end of your line, and you're going to use one or two jigs above it?
I put just one jig above it. Right now what we're doing, the blue and cinnamon, that is an 8-ounce jig I'm putting on the bottom of my line right now.
Okay.
Which is extremely heavy. I don't like fishing those kinds. But you're in such deep water, you can sit there for 5 minutes waiting for your stuff to get down there if you use anything lighter. So, and it's hard to troll with those. So you got to use that 8-ounce. And then where I do my experimenting is the top jig. Yeah, I'm always going to have the blue and cinnamon on bottom, that big one. And then I'll go up top with a different one, maybe some red in it or some green or chartreuse or something. That's going to be my experimental jig to tell me which one they're wanting. Because they're going to hit that blue and cinnamon. If I keep consistently getting hit on the blue and cinnamon on the bottom, I'll put a smaller blue and cinnamon up top. So,
yeah.
You know, I'll have four or five rods rigged up, and all of them will have that blue and cinnamon on bottom, but all of them will also have a different jig in the middle or on top.
And then you just see what they're hitting best, and it's a kind of a test for you, right?
It's it, and just make the adjustments. And it's just like any other time of the year. Bright, sunshiny days, you know, you want to use bright colors. Dark, dreary days, you want to use a darker color.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, the color combination may change from day to day, but always remember to put a nibble on there.
That's you've told me that, and you know I've done it on a much more limited scale than you on occasion when I go crappie fishing, not all the time. That niblet, it's you know, I'm no scientist or chemist, but there's got to be the enzyme or whatever in that fish oil, whatever, that makes them want to hang on to it, you know?
There is, to me, I kind of equate it to, if you're jig fishing without a nibble, it's like minnow fishing without a minnow. I just have that much confidence in them.
You know, Seth, I've got a good buddy, Jeff Rice, that actually Jeff's going up to Saskatchewan with us in June fishing for walleye. And Jeff's fished in Canada a lot. I've only fished there 3 times in my life. This will be the 4th time in June. The locals up there, if you back troll the boat, little, you know, 14, 16 foot V-nose boats, with little 20 horse kickers, and you do a lot of trolling for walleye. Well, you back troll and you use a deal called a bottom bouncer. It's a rig. They told me always use an attractant on the, it's just little spinners that you troll with, you know, like little MEPs or whatever. But, they said always use something. What I did, I got the fake earthworms, you know. I forget what they're called, but they look just like a little earthworms. And the bite was good all the time, but with those on there, tipped on that spinner, it was twice as good. And then last year, Jeff told me, said, Luke, stop by Cabela's there in Saskatoon, which is the biggest town, I guess, in Saskatchewan. Not real big. We stopped by a Cabela's and bought a flat of earthworms, you know, nightcrawlers, what we got. You put a nightcrawler on there, you almost have to hide it before you put it on that bottom bouncing rig that's no kidding. They just, it's something about the flash and all of an artificial, they will hit it, you'll catch plenty. You'll catch them a lot faster with that real scent, I guess is what it is. So
that's it.
I understand what you're saying. Well, I'll tell you what let's do, Seth. Let's make sure everybody in, you know, that's listening knows how to contact you. Facebook, folks, I'll tell you this, Lake Fork Cat and Crappie on Facebook. If you like that, you can check out my buddy Seth's, what he's been doing, what he's been catching. The website is the same, I guess, Seth.
Yes, sir. LakeForkCatAndCrappie.com. Or you can call me. It's easy. I love to visit with folks. 903-736-4557.
Well, Seth, thanks a lot, buddy, for being with us, and we'll get you back here in a couple of weeks. I'd like for you to report, like you do, patterns. It's one thing to say what happened this morning, but tomorrow morning is going to be a different thing, and I think patterns are really important. So we'll get you back here soon, and let's do it again.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Luke.
Folks, for the past 12 years, I have used my Smoking Tech's electric smoker to cook literally hundreds of pounds of game meat and domestic meat. I've made sausage, jerky, cooked wild hog hams with them. They are absolutely awesome, and they're built to last. You can go to Smoking Tech's, SmokinTex.com, and check out their line of smokers. There's different models, bigger ones and littler ones, depending on your needs. Or you can call Diz or Scott at 888-922-1511. Folks, I'd like to hook you up with Butcher Packer Supply. This company has everything you need for making jerky, sausage, curing meats at home, anything to do with home butchering. You can go online to butcher-packer, that's butcher-packer.com, and order everything that you need right there online. Folks, if you're looking to buy property at Lake Fork and the surrounding area, I want to hook you up with my friend Paul Tibbetts and his staff at Signature Properties. Your home is special, shouldn't your agent be? The folks at Signature Properties are specialists around the Lake Fork area. For more information, visit easttexasluxury.com. That's www.easttexasluxury.com. Or call Paul and his staff at 903-383-3530. That's 903-383-3530.